If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for seven figures. Go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code PODCAST for an instant $100 discount. See you in Nashville.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined in studio today, guys. Folks, everybody's Randy Engston.
Oh, so yay!
Oh, yeah, where's that little applause thing? Guys, let's get right into it today. Today, episode really comes down to a little story I got to tell. It's about first-class mindset. Yeah. So I just took a trip to Belize. First time ever. I didn't even know where Belize was, you know, like everybody, hey, cool, let's go to Belize. And you know, it's not that far.
It's not. Not
so,
from here.
So when I was booking my travel, I was talking to the guy that I'm an investor in that island with. And I'm like, hey man, like, is this like an 8 hour, 9 hour day? Like, what are we looking at? It's like 5 hours. You get there, go to Dallas, jump on another plane and you're in Belize. And for us, I had to take another like puddle jumper to a little city called Dangriga and then a van and then a boat over to the island. So that was like a whole adventure.
It's fun.
But when I travel, and you know this, Randy, whenever we travel together, I force first class. Yeah. Like I have to fly in the first class seats for a lot of reasons. I decided probably, gosh, it feels like 7 years ago at this point that I wasn't going to fly coach anymore. Just a personal preference.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of things that go into why I decided not to fly coach anymore. If I can, like, listen, I've booked a first class ticket, then had been bumped to another flight. And then I end up sitting in the like last row. Mm-hmm. Then it reminds me even more why the hell I would want to sit in first class. And I think I remember the day it happened. It was our trip to Australia.
Yeah.
And I was so miserable on that flight in the back because we were trying, you know, we didn't have a ton of money. We're just trying to save. We're flying out there for a client content shoot thing way years ago. Yeah. About 7 years ago at this point. And I remember thinking when I was booking the travel to Australia, that the cost was exponential. It was like, you know, maybe 2,000 for the coach and like 8,000 for the front. You know, for the first class. So a difference of $6,000, it's like three times the cost, right? Four times. And so I remember sitting, booking my flight and saying, I wouldn't pay that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got on the flight, I would pay 10,000 because it was so miserable, right? Isn't that funny how it works? So anyways, I'm flying, you know, to Belize. And next to me, I started striking up a conversation. Actually, the guy struck it up with me. He's a Belizean national and he was flying back from talking at an event in New York City and we're getting to talking and he ended up being, in the government for, he was the registrar of hotels. And that's like one of like the last steps to opening a hotel. You have to get full clearance and permitting everything.
And all that,
all through that, the department. And I was like, you know what, man, we've got an island in Belize where I'm heading and we are developing a resort on there and we're actually probably going to need you at this point. And so he gave me his contact information and, you know, everything over there is done in WhatsApp. And so we were kind of talking on WhatsApp and he ended up coming through for us because we had a meeting when I came back and I'm like, hey, you know what? I need a little help because we're stuck on something. And he jumped on a Zoom and with all the investors and we're knocking it out right there on the spot because of proximity.
There you go. Boom. You're in the right room.
And the craziest story about that whole trip was on the flight back. I flew into Miami and then Miami to Phoenix is about 4.5 hour flight. I'm sitting in first class. I'm in, I think the last row of first class. I'm on the aisle and this guy comes walking down and I see he's got a WrestleMania tag on his bag. I'm like, cool, WrestleMania, man. Cool. He's like, hey, can I sit in the aisle? I'm like, no, you can't. That's my seat. Because I want to sit in the aisle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he's like, man, well, I figured I'd ask. I'm going to be up about 20 times pissing. So I just figured I'd give you the courtesy. I said, well, you know, if it gets too tough, we'll switch. Sure. Middle flight. But like, this is where I'm sitting. So he was like, cool. And then later on in the conversation, he's like, hey, are you WrestleMania? Have you ever been to WrestleMania? I go, you know, I've never been. And, you know, when I was a kid, that was something I was looking up to.
Sure.
But like, you know, as I get older, you kind of grow out of it or whatever. He's like, you should do it. I'm like, have you ever been to WrestleMania? He's like, yeah, two or three times. I'm like, oh, cool, man. You know, we kind of, he alluded to like, yeah, I wrestled in it. I'm like, wait, did you say you wrestled in WrestleMania or have you been to WrestleMania? He's like, oh no, I'm a wrestler for WWE. And I was like, oh, sweet, man. Totally cool. I'm like, I don't know who you are. And yeah, by the way, he's not big at all. I'm bigger. I'm taller and bigger than this guy. And so he's like, yeah, man, Finn Balor is my name. I'm like, cool. Let me look you up. Finn Balor, 4.6 million. I go, congratulations. Yeah. Well done. Well done. And we ended up getting to know each other pretty well. It was probably one of the most fascinating conversations. We were talking about politics and his hometown of Ireland and inflation and aliens and who built the pyramids and what's behind the Antarctic wall and all this stuff, man. And we're both like zoomed in. And so anyways, we became buddies. But the point of the message is this. I made a post about sitting in first class as I was sitting on that flight before I had even met Finn.
Finn, sure.
And I put the tickets of my thing and I said, the reason I fly first class is a mindset. It's a reason to hold myself to a standard. This is where I belong in life, whether or not it's at the nice restaurant or not waiting in line at a bar or getting the Bentley for the, you know, Uber instead of the Uber X, you know, or first class.
Sure.
Granted, I'm not at the level of private or even owning a jet. Fine. Maybe that's the next level. But for me, it's like first class is the easiest thing I can say. This is the standard. And I posted about it on Facebook and it was amazing because the first 3 days of it was all friends and family. Oh man, I really like that mindset. I'm going to try that too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah. You know what? I should really do that as well. And then Facebook decided to send it out to the world, the algorithms.
Yeah.
And it was hater after hater after, oh, you want attention or yeah, wouldn't it be nice? And all the things that would tell me that these people would never understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would never understand. Those are the same folks that would look at the people in first class with disgust.
The judge. Yep.
These rich people up here, high in the hog, all this stuff. And it's like, no, that's not, in fact, it's the opposite. It helps me work harder in life. It
helps me. That's the standard.
It helps me show up for this podcast every single week for 5 years. It helps me show up for Zach and for you and for my family because it's the standard. If I allow the force of average, which is the haters of all these people, to just take my mindset away of like, hey, working hard isn't worth it. And you need to just, you know, be average like everybody else, or, you know, having nice things is a bad thing. If mm-hmm. I would listen to that, I wouldn't work as hard.
Yeah. It's the haves and the have nots type of thing, right? There's that line in the sand and there's such a big portion of society that looks at those that create a standard, choose a different path, you know, have reached a level of success or so forth, that they feel that because they have done that, that they can't themselves, or that there is something wrong with that belief and that mindset. I love the fact of that standard. I mean, it's because it carries over in so many different things in life. I mean, it's when you hit set that expectation for yourself, like you said, that is the motivator to go do all of those things, you know, to put the work in, to work the late hours too, because you are unwilling to go back to below that threshold that you set for yourself.
Sure.
And why anyone would see that as an issue blows my mind.
And a threat to themselves.
Exactly.
Hey, Tim Lyons here. And let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. 3 days laser focused on building a gym that prints profit and buys back your time. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Love's Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Brockstrom. You need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics sealed the deal. Then, New York Times bestselling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for seven figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025. Build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville. So they see my post and they just want to hate all over it because it's a reflection of themselves, mm-hmm. right? Just because they don't believe in it.
Limited belief, yep.
And so I want everybody to win. And you know what's really cool is in the Iron Circle, it's in our mastermind where we've kind of like set this precedence of everybody's here to win. Mm-hmm. Just because this person's winning or doing better doesn't mean you're doing worse. And I've heard of other masterminds because the Iron Circle folks tell mm-hmm. me this, that the head of the mastermind or the coaching group doesn't want or allow people in the group to do better than them because sure. they also own a gym or whatever. And I'm like, I want the Iron Circle to do better than me. Okay. Why is that? Well, I think the value of a coach isn't the things that the coach has, the Lambos and the whatever, the Rolex. It's how well are the students doing?
There you go. Yeah.
How well are the students doing? Are the students being very successful, going on vacations and buying things for their family and doing all the things? Then we're doing our job.
Yep.
It's not what we do.
That's a real resume.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because you would look at, there's coaching groups in every industry, call it real estate, call it anything. And it's usually the coach or guru that's got all the wealth. It's like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
It's like the guy at the top of the pyramid is the one making the most money. But in our situation, no, I want the gym owners in our group, in our coaching group, in our springboard, whether it's our Iron Circle members, I want to do better. Better financially, better other businesses. In fact, there's several that are already right now. And I think it's amazing. And yep. I think it should be that way. And it's really weird that somebody else's success it actually reflects more positively on us in this situation because we're directly helping or whatever in the group.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just wild. So my daughter was looking at the comments on that post last night. And she goes, oh, wow, look at this guy. Look at this guy. I go, stop reading them. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
None of it's matter. The cool thing is I got a ton of new followers, you know, tons of shares, likes, and comments. But like, what is that? It's nothing.
Yep.
But it just showed me very, very clearly what society thinks of. And it could have been a picture of a Rolex. It could have been a picture of a new truck. It could have been a picture of a new boat. And you're going to get haters. You're going to get your friends and family that support.
Some of them. Yeah.
And then you're going to get everybody else. And it's so interesting that that's the way the society looks at things because it's, you know, the old thing that we used to talk about when you're trying to eat healthy and you're trying to do the right thing for yourself and work out every day. And you go to a restaurant where there's junk food, like it's a bar. Let's just say it's a bar. You're there to watch the Jets game or whatever, right? And in everybody's ordering pizza, mozzarella sticks, beer, you know, and you're like, oh man, I can't eat that because not only do I not want to, I don't enjoy it. I'm going to feel like crap. Let me order a soda water and let me get that chicken on a plate, some mustard.
Yeah, right.
What are you doing, Tim? Like, what is that, man? Like, get the beer, man. No. And so, like, what is what I eat have any effect on how you operate today? Yep. Right? It's just really, really interesting. And so, crabs in the bucket mm-hmm. mentality. The bottom line is this. I'm a bottom line guy. 10-4 bottom line nutshell guy. In a nutshell, people, even though closest around you, don't want you to win.
So true.
And that's why a group like the Iron Circle is so powerful because that's all we want you to do. People around you, your friends, your family, maybe not your parents, you would hope, but that who knows the dynamics out there. There's a million dynamics. They don't want you to be successful. And the only reason they don't want you to be successful is because it makes them have to look at themselves and ask themselves, why can't I, or why didn't I do that? And they have to take ownership for not taking the action that you did to become successful.
Yeah.
And it's just so, and when you realize that, everything else makes sense.
Yeah. Then there's a ton of it, man. I mean, like you said, it carries over into all of society. You know, the average, you know, people look at, I mean, just use fitness or personal health, you know, walk down the street, go to a Walmart, the average, like those that make a choice are the outliers. They're the ones that society deems as different, as weird, as obsessed, as well, perfect. That's fine.
Yeah.
Label me all you want, but I'm going to be the one over here enjoying the hell out of my life.
Yeah.
And to your point, it doesn't affect you. The dollar hits my bank account. It doesn't come out of yours necessarily. Correct. Right. Or the, you know, the fitness, the physique side. It's really interesting that so much of the population looks at that as a negative and a bad thing instead of pulling from that, instead of using that to motivate them and be that in, you know, internal motivation, intrinsic motivation. You know, pull from those. And that's a part back to the group, right? When we celebrate success in the Iron Circle, it's to show the group and everybody else what's possible.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, let's pull them with us. It's not like we're creating a line and stepping on them in order to get ahead, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the closest gyms, you know, to us, our competitors of yours. Like,
yeah, it's wild.
But none of that matters. No. It's the standard you set for yourself. It's the work that you're willing to do to maintain that. That's going to dictate, you know, what the life you live looks like.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And you know, this whole first class, the thing, you know, I decided this on that Australia trip 7-8 years ago. There's a Steve Harvey clip from one of his talk shows, or maybe he was doing a keynote or something that talks about this one thing. And Nick, I was just wondering, is there any way to cut that into this episode? Like if we were to play it like right now. Okay. If we can do that, I'd love to play that little clip right now because this puts it all in perspective. Steve Harvey is talking about if you can, at least once in your life, buy the first class ticket.
Next time you buy an airplane ticket, just ask for an upgrade. Pay a little extra money to fly first class. What it does is it conditions your mind. Once you get in first class and you see how wide the seats are, and you find out why they shut that curtain, see, because they shut that curtain because they can't let you see what's going on up there. They passing out hot nuts. Everybody get a washcloth. They got a menu. You get to decide what you want. All the drinks is free. Once you sit in first class one time, the next time you get on a plane, it's very difficult to walk past them seats. And then your mind starts thinking of ways to get back to first class.
The show. Anyways, guys, hopefully you enjoyed that clip that Nick cut in on Steve Harvey. But honestly, it really makes a ton of sense. And it's like, once you do it once, it's really hard to walk past those first class seats and sit down and coach again because how nice it was.
Once it hits your lips, right? you've tasted success.
You're
a little
drinking
bit,
out of a real glass up there. Yeah. You're, you know,
they give you a fork and a knife and a meal
in a napkin with a little button on it. So the buttonhole, you can just put on your
pop
thing.
It on your,
you got little salt and pepper shakers with it. And, you know, anyways, it just puts things in perspective. And there's a couple folks in the Iron Circle that I know have adopted this mindset. And they've told me personally that it's really changed everything for them. It's a true mindset thing. It's not scarcity. It's abundance. It's I deserve the better things in life.
Sure.
Is first class the best? No, like owning your own jet for $48 million, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Or $400 million, a Gulfstream or something. That's the best.
Yeah, right? Jordan's new one, I think, was $70 million or something.
Yeah, it's probably $700 million, I imagine. These Gulfstreams, 650s, 700s.
He's got a new 750, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's... Yeah,
what, that's different ballgame,
He's
though.
Got two of them. So.
Yeah, he just took delivery of this one.
Yeah, no big deal. He's got two of them. So, like, yeah, sure. I'm just saying where you're at today. You know, maybe it's going to, you know, Ruth Chris or Mastro's or whatever. There was a point in time when we had time, I was taking the family to Mastro's on Wednesday nights. It's just like this middle of the week. And I was just like, you know, what's going to Mastro's. We had like 3 or 4 weeks in a row. And what I was trying to do is I was trying to establish what is normal for Alexandra.
There you go.
I was trying to establish what's normal. I was letting her talk to the waiters and waitresses, the people next to us in the booth next to us. They're just families like us. And it's just like, just trying to make something that is nicer, normal.
You know, I've thought about it, you know, after doing it for a long time too, but I did it with my breakfast. Saturday, Sunday, I'd always go out for brunch with some friends. And to me, same exact thing. I'd have steak and eggs every single time.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, I mean, it's a breakfast joint, right? So like over the years it's gone up obviously, but a $25, you know, steak and egg breakfast.
Sure.
You know, that's not wild money. No, that's not going to Mastro's for dinner. Right. No, but every single week, this is the standard that I've had friends like, you know, all of the time. Why are you doing the same thing? Because this is what I want. This is like, if I know that I could do this every single weekend, everything else is where it needs to be.
What are you working hard so far?
Exactly my point. Like,
what's
right?
the point? And there's people that think the exact opposite of us. Right. And I know of many of them, and they will never in the wildest imagination spend the money on a steak dinner that they can make at home for a third of the cost. Mm-hmm. They can go to Costco and get that same cut of meat or whatever, do it themselves. It's not about that. It's about setting the standard of what's normal and it's okay to do. And because money is infinite, you could always make more money. So holding on to it and sticking it in a bank account and not enjoying life. I mean, that's your prerogative, but that's not mine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not mine.
Can't take
and,
that with you.
And here's the kicker. We don't agree. I don't agree that that's the way you should live, but I don't care what you do. It has no effect on me, but it's the opposite.
You're not jumping on their posts and talking garbage.
It's the opposite for everybody else. It's how you decide to spend your money and the things that you want to do. That's not how they believe. And so they got to knock you down
project,
for it.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you mean? I don't care. I don't care what you do. So anyways, we're ranting a little bit. The point of the message is this. Set the standard. What do you deserve? Where do you belong in life? Wherever that is. If that's in first class, then let's stay in first class. You're going to work harder because of it. What do you believe is your worth? What is your thermostat?
There you go, yeah.
And I've got this whole thing in my talk about a thermostat. We could talk about it another time, but like, whatever your thermostat is set to, if you get above that, your thermostat's going to bring you back down. And that's a bad thing.
Sure.
If it's turned down too much, right? Like if it's like, well, I don't deserve
limiting belief. Yeah.
I don't deserve to be, you know, in the front row at the concert. I don't deserve. And that's another thing we do.
Yeah.
Go right in the damn front row. Yeah. We'll go right on the stage if we can. Typically won't go to a show unless it's like first row. It's really weird. It's,
but again, it's a standard you've set, right? You've experienced, it's an experience too. And that's
totally,
the thing, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Once you've experienced it, you've felt it, you've lived through that.
Yeah.
Everything else just,
it's very difficult to sit in the back anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, hopefully this helps you guys. It's really a mindset thing. And once you get there, it all makes sense. So, you know, listen to the Steve Harvey, little thing, but maybe that will help you do it one day. And then hopefully not everybody does it, so then I can't get a seat because I booked my stuff too late. Anyways, hopefully that helps you guys. And until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.